Hello and welcome to Spiritual Sundays on the Remnants of Reese's Rememberal. Now, before we jump into this, I just want to take a moment and apologize for there not being an episode last week. Things kind of got away from me with the hectic holiday. More of my focus was there and finishing up some crochet Christmas presents that I've been putting together for people. So my focus was a little off there. And on top of that, I did think that I had recorded this episode when in fact I had not. Or if I had, I scrapped it for some unknown reason. But I'm taking the time to make sure that this is recorded now and that it will get edited and scheduled to drop at the appropriate time. Now, with that said, we're going to be taking a look into modern paganism and pop culture takes on mythologies. And I really just want to hammer home my point in this, and I'm going to be saying this a lot, so just bear with me. That modern and pop culture takes on paganism and mythology aren't actually bad or that harmful to the faith. They're really not. Well, you know what? You're gonna hear, because I'm gonna go through it all. If you can hear the train in the background, I do apologize. I'm gonna be working on getting some soundproofing put up, but for the time being, it's gonna be a little echoey. It's gonna be picking up on external noises. Not much I can really do about the train. This is ongoing. Now, to start off with, I just want to touch on something here, that historical purity isn't really all that pure. It simply put, there are mythos that have changed even back in antiquity when people say, oh, in the original myth, especially concerning Greek and Roman, especially Greek mythologies, they tend to forget that there were a lot of changes. Take Dionysus. Pan, Hades, and Poseidon, and their changes from one era to the next. And what I mean by that is Poseidon goes from the main god over Zeus to answering to Zeus when the focus went from earth to sky. And the reason that Poseidon was the head god is, even though he was god of the sea, earthquakes and tsunamis and flooding and rising waters were the bigger concern. And then as the people gathered more inland towards the mountains, there was that focus to thinking that the mountains were shaking and not the seas. At least that's one way I've heard it put. Now, Pan predates Olympus and all of the Olympians and is now a minor forest god. Hades went from chill to hermit to essentially the Christian devil alongside Pan. It was Hades, Pan, Loki, and I can't remember the Egyptian god's name. And there was a Celtic deity that all basically went into being the more common depiction of the devil. And for Dionysus, he has an interesting history, much like Pan. They both have very rich histories that have changed. Their origin stories changed, the way that they are worshipped changed. Overly Sarcastic Productions does a better job covering Pan and Dionysus's changes, so I would really recommend them, because they're longer than this episode is going to be, I hope, and their Red's work with mythology is something that I do recommend. And it's also just to be able to keep a reasonable length to the episode. So I think that, you know, if that is something that you really want to know more about, how Pan and Dionysus went from, you know, being uber powerful gods to minor players among the Olympians, check out OSP and either come back or check that out later. I should be having those links to those videos put in the description, but if not, just go ahead and look for those on YouTube. Now, OSP are not the only creators pointing this out. It's all over the place. This knowledge that the gods we know today in literature were not the originals or even their full versions, but altered and edited version for popular consumption. Do we keep the divine in a little box, forcing them to remain who they were and not allow them to grow and change? Their concepts of their more humanized versions of concepts and ideas of human experience and existence. And to say that the world and the universe and even ourselves are not in a constant state of change and flux would be inaccurate. And this causes a stigma and overall problematic stagnation of our worship, of our communing with higher forces. Do we do that? Or do we allow the gods to grow and change with our own understanding of ourselves, of the world around us, of the universe at large? Do we keep them pinned down to what our ancestors knew and understood of the world and of the universe? Or do we allow that understanding that we have gained in a couple of thousand years to make those steps and leaps and bounds as well? Or do we continue to allow ourselves to hold back? And this conundrum is the same one that cancel culture faces today. Are you always a racist, sexist, ageist, homophobic, xenophobic, raging jerk today, or always, for all time, because you said something years ago to fall into one of those categories? Can you change and evolve beyond those behaviors, or are you doomed to be trash in the public eye forever? Which is one of the reasons why Hades has gotten such a bad rep. Because if you look at it, and you look at it through a certain lens of our understanding today, he's not actually that bad of a guy. He's gotten a bad rep because of years and years and years of debate and years upon years of just trashing, of being seen as the villain because of death phobia. He is the god of the dead, but not of death itself, not anymore. At one point, he was the god of the dead and death. Now, that's bit more speculative. There is some out there that claim that him and Thanatos were at one time the same being, but I'm not so sure I buy into that. I haven't really seen too much in the way of research done on that. It's just a lot of times you'll get the conspiracies and people just spouting off. So be aware, because that will often be said at the same time as someone saying, oh, Dionysus was the god of the underworld, or the son of the god of the underworld, or it was Dionysus who was god of the underworld and Pan was his child. So it's a lot of like, okay, well, which one is it? And depending on who you talk to, depends on what they're going to say about the history. So what I'm actually really saying to you is take a look at the evolution yourself. Do your own research, and not just on mythology books, not just on Greek practice books, but also take a look at historical documentation. And that's going to be something that I'm going to say a lot throughout this series, is dig deeper. And I'm going to be doing a lot more of that myself. So have no fear. We're going to be going on this journey together. To get back on track, I think there is proof and enough evidence to support that the divine grows as we grow as a species grows. And to stagnate our view and worship of them only leads to the stagnation of ourselves, something that I kind of said earlier, but I just want to make that clear. The hardest part of this process is that paganism isn't an organized religion, nor taken seriously and given credibility in many ways. Now, that is a topic that I'm going to be talking about later, is that credibility that we're not necessarily given as pagans or spiritualists. So look for that coming up. And just to give an example here, Catholicism. When the Pope makes a decree, one of doctrine, parishioners must abide the ruling or face excommunication as a possible consequence. Now, there are witches I know who talked about covens and circles being run in the same manner, which is wild, and we'll talk about that problematic BS in another episode. Now, since we don't have a central body of practitioners to deliver decrees over an organized body of practitioners, this makes our faith a little more based on our own personal experiences and perceptions and understanding of texts and practical experiences while practicing the craft, rather than what a priest or a minister tells us to believe. And we, as well as Christianity, face a lot of the same problems with a bunch of different sources, interpreting, you know, text from thousands of years ago for a modern culture. So we are going to have those discrepancies, we are going to have those issues, and that's something that we just have to work with, something that we just have to roll with the punches on. And do the research, do the learning, and understand that the divine changes. And it's more because our understanding of the divine and of the world changes. So just ruminate on that, sit with it, think about that. And we're going to move over to the stone of the day. The stone today is rose quartz, a stone of Venus and under the zodiac of Taurus and Libra. This stone of love, healing, and relaxation is great for matters of the heart. Rose quartz is also good for self-love and acceptance of the self, others, and loss. I just gotta say that this is my personal stone type, so I'm actually pretty fond of it. I didn't realize that rose quartz and I, the stone in general, and I would work together so well, but a friend handed a piece off to me, and the stone and I just vibed, so I checked out what rose quartz is, what it does, what it's helpful for. And it really did, the more I started carrying other pieces of rose quartz and feeling them out and using my discernment on them, there was that vibe. And those who work with crystals understand what I mean by that vibe. And I'll do a full episode on stonework coming up in the future, and we'll go into all of that. That'll probably include my partner, because he does crystal work and crystal grids and all of that stuff. So go ahead and look forward to that. And if you're having problems with anxiety and depression, self-loathing, and you need to work on self-love, self-care, setting boundaries with other people and yourself, pick yourself up a rose quartz worry stone and just remember to love yourself and give yourself time and patience, because that's something that it has helped me with, and it does help with relationships with other people. Now, back to the episode. So how does changes in myth affect one's personal practice? Well, it depends on the understanding we have with them and of them. That is, when done properly, when handled with care and respect, if you reach out to a deity and you have a bad experience with them, then that paints your perception of them. And if you are a creator or writer, then that experience will create a bias against them, and that deity will not be the same in your writing. The same goes with a positive experience. This creates a bias that will seep into consumers and spread to others, no matter what it is that you're working on. Writing a script for a play, a movie, television show, a web comic. Your personal interaction with that deity and that divine aspect is going to create a bias either for or against that particular deity. We must be mindful and communicate with other pagans and elders if and when we can within our communities. There are even online places we can go for community and find local community for such matters. As we know, the city-states of Greece, regions of Rome, Persia, and the dynasties of Egypt varied wildly among themselves, painting the gods one way or another in one era, and then to another era, they were the enemy. So they're going from positive good forces to evil forces because they were part of the primary practice of the previous regime. Or they are the patron of one city-state, and this city-state and that city-state don't get along. So all of a sudden, there's a story being told about why the two city-states don't like each other, and it has to do with the gods. Or the gods have taken an interest in mortal business because these two city-states who pledge patronage to two different gods, who very well may get along, all of a sudden are not getting along. So the two city-states have influenced storytellers and those in communique with the divine in such a manner that all of a sudden these two deities who previously got along are suddenly mortal, bitter enemies. And if you're getting the hint that I'm talking about Athena and Poseidon, you'd probably be right, because that was the image in my head the whole time. Now, this is a bias that we can see carried on today, with Zeus being a good guy in the media a lot because he was head honcho while glossing over his problematic areas. It's something classic tales have in common with modern media. So, while some things do change as we see, some things stay the same. The glossing over of Zeus's problematic nature is still going on today. They don't even address the fact that he's constantly cheating on Hera. They don't take into account these things. So our modern takes on the Olympians and Zeus is Zeus good, Hades bad, Poseidon is just a little wimp who's going to go along with what Zeus says. Why? I'm not 100% sure why that has come to be the way that it is, but as we take a look further into deity work and taking episodes to cover just a specific deity or two if there's not a lot on them, then we'll dive further into that and figure out why some of our modern representations are the way that they are. And this just kind of is going, as you can see, it's just kind of setting that up. So when it comes to things like modern witch books, modern pagan books, and pop culture representations of the gods, we need to look back at their history. Use good judgment as well as proper discernment and converse with deity at times. Ask ourselves, is this representation in Lore Olympus, Marvel, DC, Percy Jackson, or any other media, whether written or visual, accurate? Is this a true depiction of the core of this divine spirit? Is this a true representation of Hera? Does this strike to Hera's core? Or is it just some surface fluff? Take a moment and think about it. The 90s version of Hercules, a very surface level with the gods. Zeus was good dad. Hera was angry stepmother. I wouldn't really quite say she's evil stepmother material, but I might just say that she went a bit too far. I would say that Zeus went way too far, having way too many affairs, but that's just me. So, in that case, if not, like in the MCU with the Norse properties, then relax and have fun with them. I mean, if you can. If the core is there and the story is a good one that revolves around the god or hero, boost its reach and present it as a good representation to consume to build a relationship with deity. This episode really came from a point of Lore Olympus and modern takes. Seeing it on TikTok in the small bubbled world that is Witch Talk. Seeing so many people say, oh, Lore Olympus, Apollo, that's not Apollo, or Hades is a bit meaner than that, and taking issue with colors and the palette being used to paint the gods, figuratively, literally, and just visually. The whole combo, it just has some people upset, not realizing that this is a work of fiction, but most mythos start off as a work of fiction about a divine concept, of a deity that springs forth in the minds of humanity, and that story grows, changes, and evolves. Some of the tales that we have today are very expansive, very in-depth with what each god said to the other to make them dislike each other. Whereas with the older stories, it's very much so on the reader to decide, oh, well, now they don't get along. Well, why? Use your imagination. People are using their imagination and filling in the gaps. Now, is that necessarily a bad thing? No. Is it a good thing? Again, it's up to interpretation and your interaction with the divine. And if people get very purist with you, take a moment and just relax. Perhaps point them in the direction of the last, 2,000 years of written word and lore on different cultures and their own culture, and point out how things have changed, grown, and evolved. Now, there are some movements, like within BIPOC practitioners, within closed practices such as voodoo, hoodoo, and indigenous practices, to close them off so they can regroup and rebuild their practices without the outside interference that they have had for a few hundred years now of white Europeans and the church, especially the church, being able to reclaim the practice, hone it back into a good place for them to be able to practice without having to worry about losing their lives, about losing everything that allows them to live. It's taking a moment to respect that. I know that for many within the Celtic tradition and Norse tradition, there are those who are trying to gatekeep, but there are those of us who are saying, no, it's an open practice. And to me, it is an open practice. But if you're also going to sit there and say, no, it's a closed practice, I'd like to know why. Why are you going to close off your practice? And if we meet and you're from a traditionally closed practice here in the United States, like the indigenous practices and voodoo, hoodoo, Santeria, and practices such as that, answering a few questions about your practice, I hope that that would be okay. And that goes into more of our modern takes today, because a lot of our modern takes and our understanding through our current media, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And in a lot of cases, we have a problem with certain publishers who are big in the spiritual community taking BIPOC traditions and faiths and practices and having a white author who's only read history textbooks and interviewed black and brown face wearing popular figureheads out there in the pop culture scene and taking their word as fact and at strict face value, not really taking the time to go to a reservation and encourage passing off the writing of their book to someone who practices this tradition, was raised in this tradition, and understands the value and the weight that that tradition brings. Or, in some cases, this same publisher has been reported to do the dirty download trick of having a BIPOC creator write the book, write the first draft, and then they pass it off to a panel of white editors to market the book for a white suburban middle-class mom who really just wants to expand her horizons because her holistic practitioner said that she needed to spend the $70 on this book and the accompanying crystal and CD. So you can see how there are a lot of problems with our modern takes, but there also is a gap for our modern takes to actually be evolutions of our older crafts, our earth-based traditions. And you see that a lot within all faiths right now, all walks of religious life right now. There is an upheaval and a change. People are pointing to it being a change in age, a astrological age change that we are moving forward. And there are those who are trying to send us backward to repeat the last age all over again, which very well may be true. I'm not that big into astrology, which is something that I look forward to learning about and sharing with all of you, having people on to talk about that. Yeah, the first few episodes are definitely going to be like this, glossing over topics. But I just wanted to take the moment and talk about how they're not actually that bad. That's the core of this. They're not actually that bad, especially if you understand proper discernment, which is not this next episode, but the following. So episode 3 is about the Book of Shadows and grimoires, history, uses, and the big ever-growing question that I hear all the time. Do I even need one of those? So, if you have questions about the Book of Shadows and a grimoire, next week we're going to be diving into that. But for this week, If there are any further questions or any points that you want delved into a little bit deeper, this is just the first of this series. So this will probably be listed as part one. And I don't know when we're going to come back around to part two. But in the meantime, but I will say this. Modern takes aren't bad if they bring in more people to the faith and cause practitioners to get educated on as much media of old as they can in order to understand the journey of practitioners and deities through the ages to the modern day, going from antiquity to today. Humanity is not stagnant, so why must the gods be so? As always, use discernment and education and consume the old lore along with any modern you find, and all will be fine. Like I said, if the core of the story fits with the core essence of everything you've read about the divine and the divine being that you are pledging your allegiance to, worshiping and calling on a regular basis, your patron, what have you, then is it really that bad of a take? Or are you just listening to the purest ideas that have been propagated and pushed on us by so many traditional witches? And I'm not slamming traditional witches. Traditional folkloric witches and practitioners have a very major part to play, and we'll talk more about pop culture practitioners and traditional practitioners in an upcoming episode, probably five or six episodes, just to be clear, probably episode 5 or 6, because episode 4 is discernment. Again, I'm going to try and make these weekly, but they may end up just being bi-weekly across the whole channel. You know, across Reese's Remember All here, I might be doing the film and what have you bi-weekly, but I'm going to try and keep up with this weekly schedule. So that brings us to the ever-important conclusion of the episode with the tarot pull. Now that I've got my cards in hand, or as you can better hear. Oh, I love that sound. I don't know about y'all, but that sound of the cards clacking like that, it just sends shivers up and down my spine in such a good way. Always have deck of cards, no matter what kind of deck. Playing cards, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Tarot. They all just doing that, just that noise. It's just so satisfying. Now, gonna do a little bit more shuffling here. I did some shuffling. I paused and did some shuffling. Oh, we've had one come right on out. And that is the Six of Earth that has popped out. And I am going to do a draw of one. All right. And the Six of Earth was upright. And in verse, we have the Nine of Air. So as we take a look at the Six of Earth, for those of you who have or have seen the As Above deck, there are the gnomes who are behind a tree, looking lost and defeated. While there are two out in the open in the glade, behind the tree and beyond the other gnomes. The symbolism here for this card is that not all hope is lost. You may feel lost and trapped in the dark in the coming week, but you're not that lost. Hope is just around the corner. Things are going to get better and going to improve. You may feel a weight and a struggle right now, but that will soon be alleviated. Now, for the Nine of Air, this inverted, there are similarities. However, this one happens to be inverted, which means that in conjunction with the previous card, don't let your depression and anxiety, your worries, the pressures of work and social life, family, don't let that bog you down and control you. You are magnificent. You are absolutely wonderful and stunning. So take the time to ground, to center, and focus yourself and move forward. Take that deep breath and just let it be. Or take that deep breath, put on your warrior pants, and go kick some butt. Because while you feel that you should give up and you're going to try and get in your own way, don't. Don't let yourself or anyone else get you down. And with that, wonderful uptick of energy and that positivity for the coming week. Even though things are going to seem drastically dire, you got this. With that, I just want to say, take a look at the socials in the description down below, or head on over to crochet_Jedi on Twitter, and you'll find my link tree to all of my socials there. You can find me over on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and I will be more than happy to engage with all of you wonderful people on any of those platforms at any time that I possibly can. Be patient with me, I do have a lot going on. So, with that said, merry meet, merry part, and until we merry meet again, hail to the old ones, and blessed be.